Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you're having a happy and a blessed Lent. What an amazing time of the church year. Always a bit challenging, but that's good for us spiritually. I hope you're making the most of the time. We're living through such a time of shaking in the life of the church and in the culture, a kind of epic moment, and there's no better place for us to be than before the gaze of the King, before the fiery eyes of Jesus, as Scripture describes him, who looks at us with a gaze of love, looks at us with a purifying gaze, looks to draw near to us and wanting us to draw near to him so he can remove from us the dross and remove from us the sloth and remove from us things that hinder a radical trust and surrender of our lives to him. Every little step, it's important for us to know, friends, every little baby step in his direction, every genuine heartfelt movement toward him moves the heart of God. And it's important. And so every little way you turn to him in this season, and don't despise small beginnings, don't despise little steps. I mean, if you have the grace to take bigger ones. But nonetheless, what really is important is that we're paying attention to him and doing what we'll talk a little bit about today from John 15, abiding in Christ. You know, abiding in Jesus, which is key to being fruitful, which is what really Lent is about. Lent is about deeper conversion, deeper transformation, deeper coming into our authentic identity in Christ, and then being able to live out the mission and the call that God has given to us. And the only way we can be fruitful in that mission, Jesus makes very clear that he said, if you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. So a big question is, okay, then what does it mean to abide in him? And so it's not complicated. It can be difficult because our lives are high-paced. We've got a lot of noise inside and outside us. We've got a lot on our minds, a lot of responsibilities. And abiding is kind of resting in the Lord. It's throughout the day, you've heard phrases like practicing the presence of God, being aware of the Lord's presence, being aware that you're a temple of the living God, that God has come to dwell in you in the Holy Spirit, that Jesus has given you the counselor, the Holy Spirit, who will lead you. He'll inspire you. He'll reveal things to you. He'll give you little promptings. He'll give you a conviction. He'll increase in you things like faith, hope, and love, the virtues. He'll work in you the spiritual fruits, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and the kind of spiritual gifts that were spoken about in our confirmation, you know, the Isaiah gifts of wisdom and understanding, things like fear of the Lord. And Jesus' delight, the passage says, is in the fear of the Lord. So this whole dimension of the life that is in Jesus that he wants to make possible for you and me to be able to receive and to walk in. That's the whole point of the Christian life, what it means to walk by the Spirit. And so he's giving you a power and a capacity if you hunger and thirst for it, if you're attentive to it. So abiding each day in the midst of our responsibilities, vocations, and the like is to be aware from the beginning of the day, to be aware that you live in his presence and his gaze is upon you. Nothing escapes his gaze, and that he's in your corner, he's for you. He wants you to learn to live more freely and fully in love and imitate him. So throughout the day, talk to him. He says here in John 15, the chapter we're going to touch on here today, is he said, I call you not servants anymore, but friends. You're my friends. He's our Lord. He's our master. He's our brother. He's our friend. He's all these things to us. And it matters to him that we grasp what he says, that he takes the friendship seriously. And he wants you to come to him in freedom and honesty. And so throughout the day, to be able to just quietly in your heart, simple little prayers. You may have rhythms in your day where you're reading more formal prayers and praying things like the rosary and all that. It's fantastic. Do that and stick to those habits. But leaving those moments and just being about your day, just continue to quietly recognize his presence. Just say his name. Just tell him, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, thank you for being with me. Jesus, help me. Whatever simple ways you want to acknowledge him and relate to him. And the more you do that in life, the more it grows, and the more the Holy Spirit helps you develop a keen ear, a spiritual ear to be able to hear the Lord. Maybe not audibly, that does happen. It's rare, but it does happen. But the quiet, in the quiet of your soul, in the quiet of your spirit, being able to hear his voice and feel his promptings and the little encouragements he wants to give you throughout the day. And he wants you to know his favor, that he delights in you, that he delights in the friendship, that he delights and loves you, and that the Father loves you as his child. And so living in that during the day is partly what he means. It also means being able to know and grasp and live in the promises of God. I'm with you always till the end of the age. There's lots of promises in John's gospel here. And one of the reasons why, was it St. Jerome or one of the saints said, ignorance of scriptures, ignorance of Christ. And one of the reasons we fail to see and grasp how much the Lord wants to be with us and what we can receive in the relationship that the Lord is himself initiating is we don't know him. And one of the reasons we don't know him very well is we don't know his word. And we don't spend a lot of time in his word, listening, allowing the Holy Spirit to make that word come alive in us. And so the person of Jesus just comes off the pages of the Bible. He just reveals himself with the help of the Holy Spirit. And we're able to see him and the contours of who he is, his gaze, his smile, his encouragement, his holiness, his magnitude, his majesty, these kinds of things. And then to hear the words of what he's calling us to and what to expect. It's really wonderful. And then the promises of God are all there in the scripture. And then living, trusting in those promises is a big part of what it means to walk in faith and to surrender your life to him. And then, of course, just following his leadership. So here in John 15 is the famous, you know, the vine, Jesus, the true vine. He reveals himself as the vine and he gives the image, a very earthly image, organic image that people of his time and we can understand. And he said, his Father, he begins by saying, I'm the true vine. And then he said, my Father's the vine dresser. The Father oversees the whole vineyard, the whole vine. He pays attention to it, right? And then it says, every branch of mine that bears no fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So Jesus is making clear through this very helpful image of the vine and the branches. And what the Father's intending, the Father's offered his Son to us. Jesus is giving his life. Jesus is bringing us into relationship with him. And then the sap, you might say, the life principle that runs through Jesus, that the power, the fire of his love, the eternal life that's in Jesus is given to us as we share it in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit given to us at baptism. It's like the sap of spiritual life that runs through us. And if we're attached to the vine and we're receiving what the vine is giving, this is really important because it's in the, I'm not an expert on the plants, but the whole flow of the sap and the nutrients, it unfolds naturally. Well, there's God's part and there's our part in this whole thing. We'll see going through. And God's part is Jesus has made himself a vine for the human race. He's the firstborn now of a new creation. He's the second Adam. Adam passed on to us his progeny, the fall, and the consequences of the fall. Jesus is lifting us up, and he's passing on to us his transformed life, his eternal life. And that relationship is profound. It's connected. And we need to receive, pay attention to, walk in the grace and the flow of power that he's giving us to be able to follow him and to bear fruit. Because he'll say later in John 15, you did not choose me, I chose you. And I chose you for a reason. I chose you to bear fruit. Everything that God has created glorifies God according to its being, according to what it is. We're meant to do that too, but because of the fall, we're the crown of creation and of all God's creatures meant to give him the greatest glory and consciously participate in our identity, in the image that he's given to us to give him glory and to respond to him in freedom. And so Jesus has come to make it possible for us to fulfill our destiny. And we can do it because he gives us a new power and a new capacity to be able to see ourselves the way he sees us, to receive the power he's given us, and to yield to it so he can produce something in us. And so it's so important to be able to see our side of it, our saying yes to it. This is why abiding is so important, because abiding is like the daily recognition and acknowledgement that this is a reality that is unfolding in your life, that you actually are engaging a person, the person of Jesus and the Spirit that's come alive in you. He's not a distant deistic God. He's not far away just watching with his arms closed. He's made his home in you. It's what the whole John, all these passages in John's Last Supper discourse here reveal to us. This is the heart of what Jesus is after, to come and make us a dwelling place of God in the Spirit, so that we could fulfill what the Father made us for. And what he made us for is not just to be slaves, to have to do the thing he wants us to do. It's to fulfill our very being, and it's what's going to lead to what Jesus describes as full joy. When we're in the thing we're literally made for, when he's helping us and we're moving in it, which first and foremost is a radical abandonment of our lives and trust to God and stepping into that relationship, that's when we begin to come alive in freedom. So that's why Jesus is inviting us. And so the Father is pruning back those who are moving in that direction. And seasons like Lent can be a good pruning season because he wants more to come from us. He wants more life. But he's also paying attention to people who keep resisting over time. And the Lord always woos. He draws us close. But to those who resist and say no, the Father, these words are very strong. Jesus says, cuts off the dead wood. And that's what he does. And that's what he does in his church. And that's partly what's happening in the church today. So we move on. He says, you have already been made clean by the word which I have spoken to you. So the power of the word of God, well taught, well preached, this word has power to really examine the intentions of our heart, go right to the core of your being, and to purify it and cleanse you so that we can step into the will of God. And he said, so abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So what Jesus has done, and he'll again say it in these various chapters here, discussing with the apostles, teaching them just before he's about to go face his most dramatic hour. He says, we've made it possible. I've made it possible. And I've given you the word the Father has given me to give to you, to wash you clean. I've revealed the Father as the one true God. And I'm the one who he has sent. And I'm going to make it possible for you to be united to us. And that's going to help you fulfill the fundamental calling of your life is to bear fruit for God, to bear fruit of love, of service, and to become everything that God's made you to be on that level. And he says, as the Father has loved me, he said, the key thing is we learn how to abide. We're abiding in his love. And so we ask, well, what is his love like? Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so I love you. Live on in my love. John 17, as I said last week, he says, as he's praying to the Father, Father, you have loved them as you have loved me. So as we reflect on this and think about this during Lent, how does God love you? The way God loves God. God is love. He can't stop loving. His love gets expressed differently in different ways according to our response to him, but his disposition toward us is always love because God is love. So let's cooperate with God. Today, just ask the Lord, Lord, help me to abide in you. It's simple, friends. It doesn't have to be complicated to just simply walk with him, talk with him, lean on him, ask him for help when you need it, give thanks to him, and watch what he does. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.